Right now, I want you to open your Bible, please. Open your Bible and turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Speaking about open your eyes, how many of you have ever looked in a telescope? How many of you know what a telescope is? All right. A telescope helps you to see things that you can't see with your naked eye. You need a telescope to see it. With the aid of a telescope, the eye can see things. There's a telescope called the Hubble telescope. It's a great, powerful telescope developed in recent scientific history that helps us to see distant planets and even stars and solar systems. Also, how many of you ever looked at a microscope? All right. And how many of you know what a microscope is? Amen. And so a microscope helps you see things that you can't see with your eye. And sometimes it'll gross you out because you'll see all kinds of microbes and germs, bacterium, and all kinds of things like that. But you can see things that you can't see with your naked eye. And tonight, we want to use another scope that can help us see things that are unseen that we need to see, and that is a Bible scope. And we want to see into the realm of the unseen with the Bible scope. And the Bible scope gives you the experience of Daniel so you can see the unseen. I want you to notice that in Daniel 10, and we see it in verses 1 through 9. Look at verse 1. It says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision." Now, God helped Daniel see something with a telescope of a spiritual vision because he was a prophet. He could see into the future, and this was a final vision that God was going to give to Daniel in the book of Daniel. It's the final vision. Daniel is toward the end of his life now, and he's going to get the final vision. And he's going to have the telescope to see things that he couldn't see if God didn't give it to him in the vision. And we look into God's Word and we see things that we normally wouldn't see and that we normally wouldn't understand. The Bible says that we're wiser than our teachers when we have the Word of God. If the teachers don't have the Word of God, we're wiser than our teachers. And in Daniel, in chapters 1 through 7, we see that God is in control over the nations of the world. Remember that God's people had been taken captive and taken out of their land, and Daniel and his three friends were taken into captivity. And Daniel 1 through 7 shows us that God is in control over all these Gentile powers and all these punishments and all these things that we've studied, that God is in control over those things. And also, God is in control over His people. In chapter 8 through chapter 12, we see that God is in control over the nation of Israel because God had to chasten and bring the nation of Israel through different punishments. And we need to realize tonight that God is in control in our country. We have a lot of problems going on in our country. We have financial problems going on. Gas prices going up. Food prices going up. There are a lot of pressures going on. And maybe you tend to be worrying about those things. And you're thinking about those things. You're saying, is the president making the right decision? Is the Congress making the right decision? What about the next president? What's going to happen? What are they going to do with us? Oh, me, oh, my, oh. And pretty soon you're Chicken Little and the sky is falling. And we need to remember with the telescope of God's Word to see through the fog, to see through the problems of the war in Iraq and the financial problems with the gas and with the food and so forth and so on, and with the presidential candidates and the needs there. We need to see God is in control. And He's in control over what's going on in the nations. And if you spend more time watching the news than you do hearing the good news of the Word of God, I expect you to be all ulcers upon ulcers. I expect you to be biting your nails. I expect you not to be a peaceful person, all upset and all that stuff, because you're not using the telescope that God has given you to see the way things really are. And God is in control. That's what he's saying here through Daniel's experience. And God is in control in the church. We've got needs at the church. We've got needs at the Christian school. We've got needs at the building. We've got all these things. If I walk around and I think about all the problems and all the needs, I'm going to be like this. I'm going to be all worried. Why? Because there are needs. Where you have people, you have needs. And God's people, we have needs. But hey, though we have needs and though we have problems, what are we here for tonight? We're here to pray to the problem solver. We're here to look to the God who answers those problems. And whatever our need is tonight, the Bible says, cast your burden on the Lord. He'll sustain thee. And God is in control, even over his people and over all the things that happen to his people. And also, I want you to see tonight, when you see the experience of Daniel and you begin to see with the telescope of God's word and the experience of Daniel certain things that you don't see normally. You see, number one, God is in control. But number two, I want you to see that you see that God uses selfless people, not selfish people. Look at verse 2 of Daniel 10. It says, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. And what did we see here? Well, we see here that Daniel was not eating good food. He was kind of eating bread and water, and unleavened bread at that. He was fasting, and he was praying, and he was seeking God. Now, why was he doing that? Why was he fasting and praying and seeking God? Well, one possible reason was that he was still thinking about the revelation of Daniel 9, about the 490 years that we were talking about, and that seemed like a long time to him, I'm sure. Even though it was a lot longer than 490 years, because there's a gap of time between the 483rd year and the 490th year that we talked about, and that's about 2,000 years. And he didn't even know about that. He didn't even see that. You know, the prophets would see mountain peaks. I went to California, and you go out and you see the mountains in California. There's a mountain here, and then there's a mountain after it, and there's a big valley between it, and it could be like 100 miles, but it seems like just like the mountains are right together, and that's the way the Old Testament prophets, they saw the first coming, and then they saw the second coming, but they didn't see the gap in between, and they would look that way. And Daniel, when he looked in the telescope of God's word, that's what he saw. But you see, Daniel may have been thinking about the amount of time that God's people were going to have to go through chastisement, and that bothered him, that concerned him. He had a burden for God's people. Do you have a burden for God's people? I thank God for the bus kids that are here tonight. Thank God for David's testimony about wanting to go to Christian school and his friend Adam. Do you have a burden? I'll tell you what, you won't get a burden by just praying for it. You get a burden by going out there and getting involved and knocking on doors. Go to a soul winning marathon this Saturday and go out there with the different groups on where we go out on bus ministry and knock on doors. That's how you get a burden, when you see people and you see the needs of people. You get around people. How do we get a burden? We have to see the needs of people. I look out in this congregation tonight, and I've talked to you individually. I know some of your needs. I know some of your problems. And it gives me a burden for you. And when I go to prayer, I think about it and I pray for it. Why? Because I'm exposed to your needs. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But there are some people, they are like sociopaths, spiritual sociopaths. And you know what a sociopath? They can only feel what affects them. They cannot feel what affects other people. They cannot feel their needs. They are so callous and they're so hardened. And they're so insensitive. And they may have a modicum of social grace, but it's like frosting on a selfish cake. And they're just as selfish as spit. And you know what? We see here Daniel's experience, and we learn that God meets us as he gets self out of our life. And he wants to get self out of your life. And the best way you can get self out of your life is that you can get moving with God and helping others and getting out there. And that's how you get a vision. And Daniel had that burden. He had that concern. And Daniel, it drove him to prayer. And he knew there were these problems. And another thing may have bothered him was the fact that the Jews had gone back to the promised land. Remember, after 70 years, God promised them that they would go back. And remember, we studied that Daniel was concerned about that in chapter 9. He studied Jeremiah chapter 29, and he saw that they were supposed to go back after 70 years. And he was praying about that. And they went back. But out of millions of Jewish people, only a handful of them went back to Babylon. Most of them stayed in Babylon, where it was rich and nice and wonderful, and they enjoyed themselves, and they didn't go back to Israel. And that bothered him. Does it bother you when somebody sits in front of the TV with the remote, or when they're out to sporting events, or they're somewhere else instead of involved with God's people and God's work? Does it bother you when you know of people that are not getting what God has for them? David mentioned tonight his friend. It bothered him about his friend. We need to have a burden for people, and that they could have what we have in the Lord. And Daniel was like that. And he realized that the people of God were not living for the Lord. They were not living for the Lord. They were very worldly. And they were not living for God. But he was praying for them. And maybe you're like that. Maybe you have family members, or you have friends, or you have people. And you're burdened for those people. They don't love the Lord like they should. They don't love the house of God like they should. They don't dress like they should. They don't witness like they should. They don't live like they should. Well, listen. Somebody needs to have a burden for them. Somebody needs to fast for them. Somebody needs to pray for them. Somebody needs to serve God continually. Somebody needs to be faithful. Why not you tonight? Why not you? And that's the way Daniel was. And I'm saying, listen to me, I'm saying that God uses selfless people. And God, the Holy Spirit, when he moves into your life, he is a selfless spirit. He is a spirit that causes you to have joy, the fruit of the Spirit. And joy is spelled J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you. You're the last. And God says that's the secret. And Daniel had that secret in his life. And so I'm simply saying that God uses selfless people, and God is sovereign over what happens in the world, and he's sovereign over what happens in the church. And there's another thing that I see here, and that is the Bible scope gives you the experience of Daniel to see that God shows you the Savior when you seek him. And I want you to see this in verse 5. It says, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz." Now, Daniel had been praying and seeking God, and he lifted up his eyes and he looked. And what did he see? He saw a man clothed in linen whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. Now, if you think about that, and you look at the description of this person that Daniel saw, it's very clear to me that what Daniel saw was the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ before he became incarnate in human flesh. He came in the likeness of a man. The gold represents the divine nature that he was dressed in. By the way, you can read Revelation chapter 1. Very similar description of Christ in Revelation 1 and here in Daniel. And Daniel and Revelation go together. And what I'm simply saying to you tonight is that Daniel saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. And I want you to notice he was selfless and he saw the Lord. And look with me at Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 6. It says, "His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning." And so his body was like a beautiful jewel. Can you imagine that? And his face was bright like lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. And the lamps of fire represent the omniscience of the Lord, that he can see everything. He knows everything you're feeling. He knows everything you're thinking. You can't hide anything from him. That's the Lord. And his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. Brass is a symbol of God's judgment. And it's the same thing the Bible says about the Lord in the book of Revelation. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And that represents the power of the Lord. And when he speaks, there's great power. But what I'm saying to you tonight is that when you look into the telescope of God's word, if you seek God, God shows you the Savior. And you begin to see the Savior and what he's like. And the Bible says that Daniel saw the Savior and it affected him very, very deeply. And you can see that in the same description. By the way, when the Lord, spoke to Daniel, the Bible says that the men that were around him, they didn't see the Lord. I don't even believe they heard his voice. It doesn't say they heard his voice. But suddenly they got this fear and it fell on them. And they ran away from Daniel. They just took off from him. It reminds me of Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and following, where Saul was going on the Damascus Road to persecute Christians. And he saw the Lord in heaven, Jesus. And he heard his voice speak to him. And the people that were around him, they heard a voice, but they didn't see anything. And God got a hold of Saul and changed his life at that point. And here is the risen Christ and in Acts. And here is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ to Daniel. And it affects him in a great way. And I wonder, you know, in your life, do you really see the Lord? Are you really seeing Jesus in your life? And you need to see him, because the Bible says that when you see the Lord, it affects you. You know, Isaiah, the Bible says, he saw the Lord. He had an upward vision. He saw the Lord. Then he got an inward vision. He saw how sinful he was, and he saw he needed cleansing. Remember Peter, when he saw the Lord, he said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Whenever you see God, you realize your need for cleansing. Whenever you really get a picture of God, it affects you. D.L. Moody got a picture of Jesus Christ and of the love of God, and he couldn't even, he was so weak, he fell in a bed on Wall Street, and he fell down, and he asked God to stay his hand, he said, because he couldn't take it. He didn't know if his physical body could take it. And notice what it says about Daniel here. It says in verse 8, "Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I regained no strength." You know, there's so many people today, you know, they're pumping iron. They're eating all kinds of Celtec and whatever stuff to get their muscles, and then put muscles on their muscles and muscles on their muscles. By the way, think about it for the long haul. I remember that myself at that age, and I was into that kind of stuff. But bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for this life and the life to come. Daniel here is a guy, he's about 72 years old at this point. I don't think he's thinking about pumping iron. He's thinking about seeing Jesus. He's thinking about seeing God. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with exercise or lifting weights. I lift weights. I have weights in my study. When I'm sitting down, I'm lifting weights. Nothing wrong with going to a gym, lifting weights. But what I'm saying to you is that we've got people that worship the body today. We've got people that worship the body, women's bodies. I mean, naked women all over. We talked about that Sunday night. It's all over the place. And we come into summer, we're going to see it. And we've got people, they're into that. And pornography, the fastest growing addiction on the internet. We've got that going on. And we've got guys that are worshiping the body and wanting to be in wonderful, wonderful shape and all of that here. And what I'm trying to say to you is that God uses and blesses selfless people, and he gives them a vision of himself. And what we need to do is get our eyes off of bare naked women. What we need to get our eyes off our own selfish, sinful self. What we need to do is get away from going with if you've got an unsaved boyfriend or girlfriend, you need to get away from that. And don't get into a dating relationship in junior high and in high school. You don't need to be all caught up on the jealousies and oh, we all got to glum and all get together. Now, I know you like people. I liked a girl when I was in first grade. I could tell your name. Second grade, I can tell your name. Third grade, I can tell your name. Fourth grade, I can tell your name. Fifth grade, I can tell your name. Sixth, I always had a girl I liked. Some girls that lasted for 2 years, all the way through school. But I'm trying to tell you, don't focus on that. Don't start pairing up and getting into a dating relationship. Chances are the person you like in school, you're never going to marry them. Statistically, you're never going to marry them, very, very seldom. You ought to set your sights on living for God and becoming mature before you get involved in dating, or I like the term courting one person when you're thinking about a mate. And I'm saying to you that we ought to seek God's face and have a close relationship with God and not let those things of the flesh distract us. But this world is so caught up in those things that we're not seeing God. And I want you to see Daniel here and learn from Daniel's experience. Number one, he shows you by his experience that God is sovereign. He's in control of everything around your life, and that God uses selfless people, and that God shows you the Savior, and you can see Jesus when you seek Him. He's not going to show you Himself like He showed Daniel Himself when you've got your eyes constantly distracted by the television, by the things of this world, and you're not seeking Him. There's a second thing that we see tonight. Not only by showing you the experience of Daniel can you look with the Bible scope upon the unseen, but by showing you the exercises of angels. And I want you to see this in chapter 10. And look at verse 10. It says there in verse 10, this statement. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Now listen, I remember in chapter 9, the same statement was made. O Daniel, a man greatly beloved of God. Does anyone remember what angelic being made that statement in chapter 9 of Daniel? Brother Bob? Yeah, Angel Gabriel. Now, I don't know for sure whether this is Gabriel, but it's very possible. Here's Gabriel again. But what I am saying to you tonight is that angels are ministering or serving spirits. And by the way, we ought to learn from angels. Angels are available. They're ready to serve. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be ready to serve. I wonder how these chairs got set up tonight. Somebody set them up. Wonder how the hymn books got on the chairs. Somebody did that. What I'm saying is God wants us to be ready to serve. He's got a ministry gift He's given you, and He's got a ministry for you. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be serving God, except we won't have the limitations of sin and of weakness that we have now. And the angels, man, they can fly. They can move. They're flames of fire, the Bible says. They move out, and they go from heaven to earth, and they're busy serving God. I believe when we get to heaven, we'll be serving God. We'll become like angels. Now listen to me. If this was the angel Gabriel, he was right there. While Daniel was seeing the Lord, Daniel got all weak because he saw God in his fleshly body. And this angel, it could have been Gabriel. The Bible says right here that Gabriel strengthened Daniel. And notice this. he got up on his knees. And on the palms of his hands, so he was like on his hands and knees. You know how you crawl around your hands and knees. Before that, he was lying flat down. What is it that Pastor Thurman says? When God touches you, you fall on your face. Not back like this. These people that fall back like this, that's the devil. They fall on their face when they see God. And that's the way Daniel was. And the angel just strengthened him so he was able to get up on his hands and knees. And notice what it says. By the way, we don't need to get stronger. We need to get weaker. Amen? With prayer and fasting. Daniel humbled himself. When you're weak, you're strong. He was seeking God. We need God's strength. We need God's power. We need more of that. And verse 11 says, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. See, he was flat on his face when he saw God, but this angel helped to strengthen him and helped to encourage him. And here we see that angels are working behind the scenes, and they help, and they strengthen us. Now listen to me. God lets you get in a place of weakness so that you can depend on God and depend on God's strength. Some people tonight are in a place of weakness. We had some prayer requests for them. Ralph Tolley is in a place of weakness. Daniel is an older man here. He's in a place of weakness. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 11. Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. You know what? I wanna know God loves me. I know it, but I want to feel it. I want to sense that God loves me. And sometimes you have to go through trials and troubles and weaknesses before God pours out His love in your heart by the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice what it says. Go to Romans chapter 8. Just hold your finger here. Go to Romans 8. And look what it says about God's love for you tonight. You may be going through weakness. You may be going through trouble in your life or difficulty. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. It says, I think of that blind guy. He went blind and his girlfriend broke up with him. He was engaged to this girl and he loved her. And he was going blind and she broke up with him. And he wrote that song, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Look at verse 35, Romans chapter 8. I don't care what you're going through. God loves you. If you're a child of God, He loves you tonight. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Hey, wait a minute. Daniel had been praying. Had he been praying? Had he been fasting, and he was burdened, and he was burdened with God's people. He had selfless burdens. If you do know that God loves you, God showed him himself. He showed him Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, did he get strong? No, he got weaker. He got weaker. And God says, you may be weak, you may be burdened, but look, who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Look at verse 36, it says, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, God may let you go through times of weakness, times of need, but He wants you to know His love. That's what the Bible says, that God loves you. And these people that are going through these physical problems and needs, they need to know God loves them. Thank God for Brother Ralph Tolley. He's going through some hard times, but he's known the love of God working in his life. And when you go through the hard times, that's what you need. Then all your weightlifting won't help you then. Then all your nutrition food won't help you then. You better have this knowledge of God. You better have this closeness with God. God wants you to know, I love you and I want to show you my love for you. And that's what God did for Daniel when he was seeking him. And not only that, but I want you to notice the experience of Daniel reminds you that you're in a warfare. Look at verse 12 of Daniel 10. It says, in verse 12 it says, then said he unto me, this angel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now listen to me. I believe a lot of times we as Christians, we don't have an immediate answer to prayer. We seek God a little bit and we don't see the result of that, and so we give it up. Daniel had been praying and fasting, as it were, for 3 weeks, seeking God steadily for 3 weeks. By the way, how many days did they pray in a row as a church for Pentecost? Anybody know? As a church, they prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out their mission. They were in weakness. Their Lord had left them and gone to heaven. And he told them they needed the power of the Holy Spirit. How many days consecutively did they seek God and pray for that, Brother Bob?
10 straight days.
You ever seen a church do that today? I haven't. Well, I'm sure they have. I've heard of it. 10 straight days. We talk about a soul winning marathon and maybe a round the clock prayer time where we each cover a certain hour. But listen, I'm trying to say to you tonight that there are great rewards for really seeking God. Daniel was burdened for his people. He was burdened that he could understand the prophecy better to help them. And he sought God for 3 weeks and he prayed for 3 weeks and he didn't eat his normal meals for 3 weeks so he could just give himself to prayer. He got weaker. He saw the Lord. He saw an angel, maybe Gabriel, who told him, "You're loved of God," and he strengthened him. Boy, we need people like that today. That can get a hold of God. We need to be that kind of a person. And so we see Daniel seeking God and praying. And we see how he was in a warfare. He realized that he was in a warfare. Look at verse 13. It says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Now, what is he saying? He's saying that behind the politicians and behind the political leaders, there are spiritual beings. There are spiritual beings influencing John McCain, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and all the political leaders, and they're angels, and they are, some of them are fallen angels or devils or demons. And this one angel, a fallen angel, was the prince of Persia. And the Bible says that as the angel, maybe his name was Gabriel, I'm not sure, as this angel was coming to give Daniel the message, he was trying to help Daniel. He was trying to encourage Daniel and help him. He had a hindrance. He had a hindrance that hindered him, and that was a demonic hindrance. Hey, by the way, do you think demons have tried to hinder you from reading your Bible this week? I believe they have. Do you think demons try to hinder you from witnessing? I believe they have. Do you think demons have tried to hinder you from getting to church? I believe they do. And they work through people, and they work on people around your life, and they try to hinder you. And there are all kinds of hindrances and problems. And maybe you've had a bad day, but it's devils that could be using it. Do you think demons might be using somebody of the opposite sex to try to draw you away from God? I believe they can. Look at Delilah. Look at Eve with Adam. That's a great tool that Satan can use. I'm saying to you that there are these demons that are working behind the scenes. And Ephesians chapter 6 says that we're in a spiritual warfare and we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against demon powers. And sometimes I get upset at people or I get angry at people and this or that. And maybe they do me wrong or they haven't done what they should do. And I just have to get back and say, "Wait a minute, God, this is a spiritual warfare. I can't fight in the flesh. The weapons of our warfare," the Bible says, "are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, spiritual wickedness in high places." We are involved, and there are different degrees of angels and different government powers of angels. And behind all the governments of men are angels. Michael, for instance, here, one of the archangels, Michael, is a defender of the Jewish people. He is what the Bible calls the restrainer in the Thessalonian epistles. Some people say the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. No, the restrainer, I believe, is Michael, the angel, who restrains demonic activity and Satan's activity. For Satan wants to destroy Israel. Who's the prince of Persia? It's a demon behind the government of Iran. And by the way, that same demon is there today. No doubt. When you hear Ahmadinejad saying, "I want to put Israel and put them into the sea," now he's saying most recently, "I want Israel to go to Alaska," or "I want Israel to go to Europe." That's what he's saying. "I want them out of the Middle East." Why should they be the problem of the Middle East? Europe is the one that had the Holocaust. If you say there's a Holocaust, he says, I don't really even believe there was a Holocaust, though. Those are demons. And behind that, God has his angels that are influencing governments and influencing people and influencing them to do the right thing. That's why it's important to vote. It's important to get involved in politics. But more important, that you're like Daniel. You know how to wrestle with God and pray for your country. And pray for Israel, and pray, because there are spiritual forces that go to work here, and we're involved in a spiritual warfare. And listen to me, when you get angry at somebody, or bitter at somebody, or upset at somebody, you are not going to win the war. This is a spiritual war, and you need to be right with God, and I need to be right with God in these things. And we see that by the experience of Daniel, and we see the experience of Daniel reminds you that you are in a spiritual warfare involving good angels and fallen angels. And look what it says in verse 14. It says, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And what he's saying is that, Daniel, I'm come, and this is the final prophetic revelation given to Daniel in the book of Daniel. This is just the introduction to it in chapter 10. Chapter 11 and 12 gives the final revelation. And what he's saying there is, I want you to know that I'm come because God wants you to understand the prophecies of the Word of God, because they'll help you to live for God. They'll help you to see things your eye cannot see. You need the telescope of God's Word. And by the way, God wants you to have prophecy. That's why he gave you the book of Daniel. That's why I'm preaching on it on Wednesday night. That's why we have the book of Revelation in Sunday school. Because God gave that revelation to the Lord, who gave it to his angel, who gave it to John, who put it down in Scripture. Why? So you could have it. Why? So that, listen to me, you could be helped to see things the world cannot see. Why? So that you will live your life for God. We were studying in school today, and in English class, one of the authors, I don't remember the name of the author, you guys remember it? But one of the authors said that life is just for this world. It's not for the future. We're living for today. That was the counsel given in the literature today that we were reading, and the teacher was pointing that out, that that was bad counsel. And what God is saying here, that Daniel, I want to give you a message through my angel so that you'll know the prophetic word of God. You'll be comforted and helped and strengthened by that. And then I want you to notice in verse 15 what it says. It says in verse 15, by Daniel's experience with the angel here, it says that when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Now notice what it says, that Daniel, I believe, was talking to the Lord, Jesus again here, and he was saying that by seeing you and in talking to you, I have no strength in me. And I want you to notice what the Lord provided for him. Look what it says in verse 18. An angel touched him. It says, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. He strengthened me. And you know what? That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to realize that when we serve God, we use up our strength, we get weak, and then we go back to Him, and He provides us to get strengthened again. When you come to church on Wednesday, you need more spiritual strength. You'll use it up in serving God, hopefully, on Thursday and Friday, is that, and you'll come back, and you'll need more on Sunday, and so on and so forth. And by the way, you need strength every day through prayer and through the Word of God. Why? Because you're supposed to use the strength He gives you. You see, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, the Bible says. How come? Because you take in what God gives you in the Word of God, and then you give it out in serving God and in seeking God, and God has to strengthen you again. And it's a continual thing. It's a continual thing that we, the Bible says, as your days, so shall your strength be. We continually need to go back to God and get fresh grace and fresh strength from God. And we wait upon God, and he renews our strength. And that's what was happening here with Daniel. And God sent the angel to touch him and to give him his strength back. Have you been experiencing that? Or are you just taking in what God gives you and then just being selfish and living a selfish life and not being aware of the spiritual battle that's going on around you? And you're all distracted by the world, and you're like a lot of people in Daniel's day that he was burdened for in Babylon. They wouldn't go back when God allowed them. He gave them an open door to go back to Jerusalem and go back to Israel. Only a small remnant went back. Most of them settled in Babylon. They had their nice homes, and if they would have had cars, they'd have their nice cars. I guess they had their nice chariots. And they had all their good gold and all that good stuff, and that's all they were concerned about. They had all the goodies. Let me tell you something, and I don't say this lightly. God's going to shake America. We dwell carelessly here. We dwell carelessly here. That's the way the Bible describes us. Carefree, man. I'll tell you what, the further west you go, the more carefree and sensually crazed we are. We're a sensually crazed society compared to Eastern society. Western society is full of sensual cravings. And the farther you go west, the more you see it. When you start going to California, you really see it. Carefree society. God's going to shake us up. There's going to be a shaking in America. And it's going to happen, I believe, very soon. And it's going to get greater and it's going to get stronger. And why is that? Well, because God wants us to understand, like we're studying here, that we need to get into the Bible scope and see the unseen and look at these experiences of Daniel and learn from them. And then we need to see the exercises of angels and learn how God wants us to serve Him and how God wants to strengthen us. And God wants to show us His love and how great His love is and His care is. There's the experience of the insight of the Bible. Look at verse 20 of chapter 10. It said, "Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." What's he talking about there? He's saying, I've got to go back and I've got to fight. By the way, he wasn't strong enough to fight this demon. He had to call in Michael. He had to call in the bigger guns. Michael's a stronger angel than possibly Gabriel or whoever this angel was. He was stronger. He had more power. He needed the bigger guns. He said, now when I leave you, I got to go back and I got to fight some more. And after that, the prince of Grecia is coming. And by the way, after the Persian Empire had control of Israel, we know Alexander the Great came and he conquered the world. And he was the head of the Grecian Empire. And later on, we know in chapter 8, we saw this man, Antiochus Epiphanes, that came out of the Grecian Empire. And he became a great persecutor of the Jews. And he is a picture of the future beast that's coming. But what he's saying here is that there's a warfare going on, Daniel. And he said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to fight in this warfare. He's saying, but I want you to notice this in verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Michael, the protector of Israel. But what's he saying? I will show you what's written in the scripture of truth. You know what that tells me there? Psalm 119 says, thy word is settled forever in heaven. God has the whole Bible before it was written in heaven. He had it already written. It was pre-written. Isn't that amazing? There's another confirmation of that scripture in Psalm 119. That ought to give you confidence in this telescope called the Word of God here. This is the greatest prophetic message ever given to man. It is the infallible, inspired, preserved Word of God. And you and I have it. It was written before it was written by men. God, it's God's book. They say, who wrote the Bible? Yeah, holy men as they were guided by God. God had already pre-written the Bible. And then he had men to write it. And he was able to put it all together. And every word of this scripture will be fulfilled. Listen, do you use it? Do you spend time in the Word of God? How much time have you spent in the Word of God in the last few days? Meditating in it, thinking about it. Either this book will keep you from sin, or there are sinful people or Satan's minions that will keep you from this book right here and try to weaken you. Don't let it happen. Learn from Daniel's experiences and learn from the exercises of the angels of God that we see and how they minister and how they serve the Lord and how they're concerned to help us. I believe there are angels here tonight. They're watching you. They're watching this church. I believe you have guardian angels over your life. What are you doing for God so that God has to strengthen you and help you to do a job for Him? Let's bow for prayer tonight. Tonight, I believe God wants you to have a job to do for God. Do you know very clearly what God wants you to do this summer? Do you have a clear, concise mental picture of what God wants you to do? Are you involved in it? You can't do it unless you're taking in the Word of God every day. You can't do it unless you're getting to church on Wednesday and Sunday morning, Sunday evening. You're taking in through the man of God, Sunday school. You can't do it unless you are giving out and you are serving until it hurts, until you get weak, until you need God to strengthen you. Are you serving God or are you living more or less a self-centered life? Maybe you have a little service for God, but really you have a selfish cake with a little serving frosting on top. God says, no, I want you to be filled with my spirit, emptied of yourself. You're too self-centered. And tonight, just as sure as you're sitting there in that, not that pew, in that seat, God's speaking to you from Daniel chapter 10 about you seeing the unseen things and getting busy for God and getting with God so that you're moving in His strength. He's flowing through your life. You're going to backslide this summer unless you take in and give out and let God flow through you. I wonder who'd say tonight, preacher, I'm a child of God, but I'm afraid of backsliding. And I need to take in and give out and let God flow through me. I don't want to be self-centered. I'm afraid that there are things in my life that are trying to turn me to being self-centered. And maybe you've fallen into that. But I want to be Savior-centered like Daniel. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your right hand? Hold it up high. Let me see it all over this building. Amen. 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 Amen tonight. We say dare to be a Daniel. Well, we've seen a little bit about how Daniel was tonight. How about you? Learn from him and follow him as he followed the Lord. And look what he got. He got to see Christ. He got to have Christ meet with him and give him his revelation of the future. Know what's going on. The secret of the Lord, the Bible says, is with them that fear him. You say, I want to know all the secrets of Hollywood. I want to know all the gossip of what's going on with that crowd. Or I want to get into all the secrets of people. Boy, I'd rather have the secrets of the Lord. I'd rather be close to the Lord. I'd rather be uptight with Him and be able to help others. That's the way Daniel was. So many people of the Israelite people were having a good time in Babylon, yucking it up, enjoying themselves, while Daniel was serving God. May God help us to have that perspective, the eternal perspective. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for this teaching, Lord, from your word. This man of God, Daniel, that we'll be able to see someday and talk to. And Lord God, we pray that we would see and follow him as he follows your teaching of your word. And as he is an example to us and a testimony to us. And Lord God, I pray that we would be able to give out and take in, and that you would flow through us this summer. We would not backslide, Lord. I pray for these that are here tonight that we would go from strength to strength and not backslide. And Lord, that we could be understanding things that others need to see from your word. We thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your fellowship that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.